The conversation that has to happen is pleased to present Bernice Lynn.
I would like to thank Andrea and the Conversation Has to Happen Again Committee for the opportunity to speak to you about seniors and some depression issues. This discussion is about my experience, and everyone's experiences will certainly differ. I am a senior citizen, and I am a volunteer on the Olds Age Friendly Committee of the Olds Institute. I first of all want to describe my feelings of anger, angst, fear, and despair when listening to descriptions of seniors in Eastern Canadian care homes at the start of the COVID pandemic. It was disheartening to realize that money alone, money and loving families together could not prevent the neglect of care suffered by so many seniors in those care homes. My hope and prayer is that those responsible for hiring home staff train and educate everyone in their facility in infection control and caring for the elderly. More importantly, that they hire people who actually like and respect seniors. My second prayer revolving around this issue is that all levels of government recognize their responsibility to ensure standards of care are established, and more importantly, those standards are enforced in all facilities in their jurisdictions. Before I was a senior citizen, I was at one time an 11-year-old girl guide earning a badge for good deeds. I was directed to a care center in Lethbridge where I lived at the time, and there were very few care centers in the 1950s. I donned my uniform. I went to the facility. A woman met me at the door and directed me upstairs to a room where there were three gentlemen, each laying on a single bed against one wall in the room. On the fourth wall was a collection of boxes and bags. I introduced myself, said why I was there, and asked their names. There was absolutely no response. The gentleman looked at me, probably wondering what on earth I was doing. I spied a violin laying against the fourth wall and asked whose it was. And the gentleman in the middle nodded, and I said excitedly, because I thought, oh, here is an opening for somebody to talk. And I asked him if he could play the violin, since I only played a piano. But he showed me his arthritic fingers and indicated he could not see well enough to play his violin. As he did so, he had tears in his eyes and was very sad. The other two gentlemen said nothing at all yet. It happened at this time, I had finished reading Pollyanna books. Pollyanna books were fiction and were written for girls my age. Pollyanna had many untoward events in her life, and in order to cope, she developed a glad game. The glad game was looking for a silver lining so she could cope with the rest of her life. She taught it to people in the community. I was only 10 or 11, and I felt this game was the answer to these gentlemen's depression. That was my perception at the time. So I proceeded to tell them about the book and the game. You can only imagine sitting there listening to a little girl who you didn't know describing a game you didn't know, and it certainly didn't sound like any game you might want to play. I describe this game, this book, and this situation just to share with you the importance of the generations meeting together to help each other in their life journeys. The Old Age Friendly Committee has endorsed a vision of intergenerational living where nursing homes, where care homes, day homes might be shared together by different generations, and each generation learning from the other and enriching their lives as they proceed on their journey. We have shared such information with our MLA and other members of the legislature. This was a lost opportunity. I needed more information and education, and the gentleman maybe needed more information, and maybe that was as good as they could do at the time. I went on later to become a registered nurse, and at one general hospital I worked at, I was given the opportunity to look after four women in one room. I only remember one woman's name and her medical condition. The other three women, I do not remember their names or medical condition. The woman on the left was an outgoing, absolutely friendly, social, lovely woman. She was 93. Everyone who went in the room would speak to her, would give her a hug, would stop and listen to her. While she was there, she had to have her leg amputated, and she cried. And she was given more hugs, more messages of love and sympathy by everyone who went by the room. In the bed opposite her was a woman who never spoke. I do not recall her diagnosis. She needed full care, bathing, feeding, getting people to help lift her out of bed and back in, combing her hair, and she never said a word. I do not remember why. But she communicated with her eyes, and you could see that while the other woman was getting a lot of sympathy and love, this woman got none. And her eyes would show glimmers, I thought, of really wanting to be hugged and held as well. So when I would finish treating her and caring for her, I would give her a gentle hug. I was afraid I would hurt her. The importance of this is that when we see anybody who is not receiving love and support and care, to recognize that they need it just as much as the other person. Maybe not in the same way. We all have our own space issues where we either like to be hugged, or handheld, or stroked with some kindness, but the feeling that somebody is there to care is still really important and always appreciated. While I was a nurse too, I had the opportunity to work in a psychiatric unit. And there I learned how to talk to people, first of all, to recognize if they were depressed, truly depressed, or were they crying for some particular reason, or had they quit crying? And then I was taught how to approach them to ask if they felt like harming themselves. And if they answered positively, then to find out what their plan was. A lot of people are afraid to do that in case they're going to give somebody the idea that this is okay or that there is no hope or of fear. If you recognize somebody who is very depressed, it does not matter their age or their condition. If you recognize they are very depressed, then I would urge you, if you feel uncomfortable, to phone 811. On that line, a registered nurse will direct you in how to proceed with identifying depression and or how to ask those questions and refer you to another source of help that can guide you more thoroughly. So 811 is a very important number to recall. I also would urge anyone, if you can, use your cell phone during this period of COVID to reach out to others, to seniors, to family, to young children who are missing their grandparents or their great aunts and uncles, their older family members. So call them on your cell phone or your phone. Talk to other of your senior friends, some of whom you may not have spoken to for a long time. And if you, excuse me, if you have access to a computer or you have a friend who does, try Googling Alberta Mental Health Association or the Canadian Mental Health Association. They have a wealth of very good resources and ideas for you. We should always feel that there is always hope and somebody who wants to help at the other end of the line. Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day. Bye-bye.